Good morning, and I want to greet each of you in the name of Jesus again this morning. So glad we can come to the house of God and worship and learn more from the Word. We have the Word of God, and it's available to us, and we need to continually learn and relearn the many lessons that God has given to us. So invite any interest in your prayers as we share the message, that it would be what God would have for us. I want to turn to John chapter 15 this morning. You probably recognize that chapter as where Jesus is talking about the vine. The title of the message is Jesus, the Life-Giving Vine. This past summer, we were invited to go to the northwestern tip of Pennsylvania there, where the Lakeview congregation is, and saw the many grapevines that were there. A very interesting country there, and I was thinking about, brought those memories back when I was studying about this sermon, about Jesus as the true vine. And you want to look at these verses here and draw some parallels from the grapevine country. John chapter 15, I'll just read the first 8 verses at this time. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Thinking about the stories and parables that Jesus gave, the kingdom parables, many times he gave things that he likened natural things to, that we could learn spiritual lessons from, and that's what he's doing here in this story. And he also points out that there is another side, there is an enemy. His stories bring that out. There's an enemy that wants to do the opposite of what Jesus is working. There's an enemy that wants to destroy the work of God. You think about the other stories, the other parables that he gave, like the parable of the sower. There was an enemy at work at the same time the sower was going out and sowing the seed of God's word. There was an enemy that was working. And the parable of the wheat and tares is another one. A man sowed wheat in his field, and the enemy came and sowed tares. And you could go on. There's an enemy that is out to destroy the vineyard of the Lord, and we need to recognize that as we think about this lesson here this morning, that whatever Jesus is doing, there is an enemy that we face, and we need to do all we can to be under the work of Jesus Christ. There are it says here that I am the true vine in verse 1. Jesus is clarifying that he is the true vine. I think by the way he says that, we would understand that there are other vines that could take the place of Jesus, or that would imitate or try to take the place of Jesus. Nobody can. But there are other vines that would bargain for our attention. Jesus said in the end times, he talks about deception. Jesus warned us about that. Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. I believe we understand that even now, as we think about when Jesus told these stories, how the enemy of God was working to take away the good that Jesus was doing. Jesus told in the end times there's going to be a lot of deception. I believe there was deception back then, but one of the main things he says is that they're going to be in the end times. When the disciples asked him in verse 3, Matthew 24, verse 3, to tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. Jesus answered and said unto them, notice the first thing that he said was, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And I believe that's why Jesus points out here is that he is the true vine. He didn't just say, I am the vine, but he said, I am the true vine. He is the true vine, and no one else can represent that. Well, I wanted to think about some characteristics of the true vine. He says in verse 1 there, I am the true vine. And that word there, if you remember, go back to when Moses was in the wilderness and God told him to go, and he wondered who he should say that sent him. He said, I am sent you. And that means the self-existing one. So Jesus is the self-existing true vine. He is the only one that is connected to life. We think about the self-existing one. He doesn't get his life from another. He is life. And that's another characteristic that I have here. It is life-giving. But he is also self-existing. The life that he has does not come from someone else. It is contained in himself. It is himself. You know, all other things have a beginning. They have to start from somewhere. But Jesus is the vine that is self-existing. I am the true vine. In verse 4, it is a life-giving vine. It says there in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. There it talks about the bearing fruit. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It has to be connected to the vine. So the true vine is a life-giving vine. Also John 14, verse 6, right across the page, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But think about the self-existing one and the life that it gives. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Very similar verses to the ones here, the truth and the life. Notice in verse 4 and verse 6, he talks about that except it abide, the branch. It says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. In verse 6, it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. So this true vine requires a connection. It requires an attachment to it. There has to be something, there has to be an attachment there for the life to flow from the vine to the branch. That is one characteristic of the true vine. It is not a remote branch. It is not far away. It doesn't have the long distance relationship. It requires an attachment. In verse 5, it says that I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It is a fellowship. This true vine gives fellowship and life in an ongoing relationship. We know that we need to come to the vine, and we find our life in the true vine, and we start out that way. We start out with a new life in Jesus Christ, but this is also an ongoing fellowship and life. It is an ongoing thing. Jesus wants fruit in our life, and says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I think that shows that there is a continual fruitfulness, a continual harvest in the life of each one of us that are attached to the vine. It's not short term, not just once and it's over. It is a lifelong decision to serve God. Another characteristic of the true vine is that it produces fruit that honors God. In verse 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That is a characteristic of the true vine. And it comes through, he's working through us as branches, but that life that flows from the vine comes into our life and then produces fruit for the husbandman. It says there in verse 1, he mentions that my Father is the husbandman. We know he's talking about God in that verse. Philippians 1 verse 11 says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. the fruit of our life gives back the glory to God, the one that gave it. So that is some, just a few of the characteristics of it, of the true vine. I have a few characteristics of the husbandman, or of God. In this case, we know Jesus said here that God is the husbandman. In verse 2 there, he says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Well, that shows us there one of the characteristics of God is that he requires fruitfulness. God is not unjust in asking that. He requires fruitfulness. And there are other places we could turn to in the scripture, and where people, in Matthew, I think it is, it says that many will say in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" And he goes on, there are the many things that they did, but there wasn't fruit in their life. And so God is a God that requires fruitfulness. You know, finally, the vine can, or branch can look ever so pretty and it can be so nice, but if it doesn't yield fruit, he says that he taketh every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So there is a requirement for fruitfulness. Another characteristic of God is that he purges us so that we can grow in our fruitfulness. The last part of verse 2 there, "Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." That's God's work. That's how God works in our life, that he purges us. That word means to prune or to cleanse. And that's one of the things that God does for us. He works without mistakes. There will be no fruit. There will be no fruitful branch that will be cut off, and there will be no unfruitful branch that will be left onto the vine. We know God knows the hearts of each of us. We can find rest and peace in that. And when we are trying and bearing fruit, we know that God is working with us, and he just simply purges us so that we can bring forth more fruit. But there's no mistakes. We can rest in that characteristic of God. Also, with pruning, he shows us his love by working with us. That is the love of God when he works to help us to grow. I couldn't help but think of the verses in Hebrews chapter 12 in relation to pruning and the purging that it talks about here in verse 2. Talking about being clean through the word and the pruning that goes on, chastening that goes on in our life. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Going over to verse 10. Talking about our earthly fathers, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for a profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." So that is one of the characteristics of God as the husbandman in our life, in our vineyard, is that the work that he is doing is a work that he is doing to make us more fruitful and to grow into his image. It's not done out of spite. I thought about the grapevine fields up there in Lakeview area there. And I thought about how the farmers that own that, there's huge fields of them. And I don't know about huge, they're good-sized fields of them, I should say. And those farmers, as they looked out across that, and you think about God looking out across his vineyard, and do you think those farmers had evil feelings towards those grapevines? I'm sure they wanted to do what they could to make them more fruitful. And I think that's how God looks at his children. He wants to make them more fruitful. Okay, we looked at the vine and we looked at the husbandman. Now let's look at the branch, the fruitful characteristics of a fruitful branch. Number one, of course, it bears fruit. We know that in verse 2 there, "Every branch in me," the last part of the verse, "every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." The branch is, God is looking for fruit in our life. In Galatians 5, chapter chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit that God is looking for in our life. We talked about fruit bearing earlier, God requiring fruitfulness. And that's the characteristic of a fruitful branch, is that it bears a fruit that God can use. And it doesn't have to be, I don't believe God keeps count of great big records, or he's not out for us to try to outdo another person, but he simply wants us to allow the Spirit of God to dwell within and to bear the fruit that only it can as we allow it to control our life. We study these lessons about the Old Testament, how the children of Israel were led through and the pressure that Moses was under. And he did remarkably well from a human standpoint. But the Spirit of God needs to control our life. And it will help us in the hard times of life. Another characteristic of a fruitful branch is that it receives purging. In verse 2 there, it says that every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. If you're a fruitful branch this morning, you can figure on being purged, according to this verse. And God is not, he's not doing that because he has the wrong kind of feelings in his heart towards you. It is because of his love to us that he wants us to bring forth more fruit. So a fruitful branch will receive the purging that comes into his life. Also going back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it talks about the fruit. Talks about the fruit of chastisement. It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It receives the purging that comes in its life. Well, what about the hurts that come in our life, the purgings that we feel God is bringing into our life? Some of those things can be so painful. Things that can be hard to go through. But you think about it in your life this morning. The things that when your life is going really well and you feel like you're on a mountaintop experience, is God receiving more glory from that, or is he receiving glory when you have hard things to go through and you simply trust in the providence of God, you simply trust in his strength? And you go through that and show the love of God no matter what comes in life. Which one of those lives will give the most glory to God? Well, I think it's the one that gladly receives the purging, the chastening that comes. And all of us have our own personal journeys to go through, hard things to go through. And just because you see someone that looks like everything is going well doesn't mean that he is not working through a purging in his life. And I think the idea also that purgings come in our life, it's not our responsibility to judge another branch's purging. These vines here, these branches had a job to do, and God, the husbandman, worked in that vineyard, and his attention is to each one individually. And we can help each other through hard things and through hurts, but to make a judgment on somebody and saying, well, that what's happening to him is God chastening him, I don't believe that's our calling as Christians. Rather, simply pray for them that they would rely on the strength of the Lord to come through victorious. I guess that's one thing that we can encourage ourselves in as the hard things of life come, that is, as we simply surrender that to Jesus Christ and to allow his Spirit to control us, then God can get the glory. Not any glory comes back to ourselves, but we are simply a vessel, simply a branch under the caring hand of the perfect husbandman. Okay, another characteristic of a branch is that it abides in the vine. Verses 4 and 5, some of these points overlap, I'm sure. Abiding in the vine, verses 4 and 5. As the branch cannot bear fruit, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Notice how many times it says abide there in those two verses. It is very important that we keep ourselves there. Keep that abiding in the vine up to date. For without me you can do nothing, Jesus says. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags, it says in the scriptures. And we try to make fruit of our own strength and our own doings, but we need to abide in the vine. In verse 3, it is cleansed by the word of God. The branch is cleansed by the word of God. It says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. There are other verses in the Bible talking about the word cleansing. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about the church, that he might present it a glorious church. I forget how it says it there, but it talks about the washing of regeneration in one place, washing of the word. The word of God is a cleansing agent on our life, and we need to, as branches, we need to allow that cleansing to take place. 1 Peter 1 verse 22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. There again, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth of God's word will purify our lives, and it will make a difference in our fruit. So it's cleansed by the word of God. Number 5, it protects its connection to the vine. It protects its connection to the vine. Now, we talked about the chastening of the Lord, and I'm not talking about, when I say protecting its connection, I'm not talking about protecting ourselves against the pruning or the chastening of God, but I'm talking about against the subtle influences, the things that would hinder our love and our relationship, our fellowship with Christ. The fruitful branch will protect that connection so that those other things don't come in and spoil it. I don't know what all there are in vine keeping. I'm not familiar with that at all, but I'm sure there are things that they have to do to protect the branches so that they don't come unconnected to the vine. And a branch is, as fruitful branches, we should be very concerned about that we have keep that connection. It's something that should be guarded. We need to take time for our personal devotions. That'd be one way we can protect that connection to the vine, that daily abiding in the vine that we talked about earlier, taking time for personal devotion, something that we can go with us through the day. That communion with God. Take time for prayer and communion with God daily. But we need to keep thinking about protecting the connection. We need to keep our priorities in the right order. I'm sure that all of us have many things that are grabbing at our attention. And there are things that can get in the way of protecting the connection to Jesus Christ. But let's make sure we have our priorities in the right place. Our businesses and hobbies and our smartphones and many things can come in the way between us and God. And let's make sure that we have our priorities right, that we protect that connection that we have with Jesus Christ. Put it in a high priority bracket, or the highest priority bracket, actually. Everything else should fall under our relationship with Jesus Christ, come into submission to it. Another characteristics of a fruitful branch is it rejoices in the stability and fellowship of the vineyard. You think about a vineyard, and as we think about that as individuals, where do you find yourself this morning in your mind, or where do you wish you were this morning? Do you rejoice in the stability and the fellowship that you have connected to the vine, and the fellowship that you have with other people. I think that is one of the things that is so important. A vine that is fed will not be a vine that is seeking elsewhere for nourishment. A vine that is connected to Jesus Christ and enjoys that connection, appreciates that connection, will not be looking elsewhere. Well, the last part here, I just have some things that maybe lessons we can learn from the grapevine fields that we saw last summer. Thinking about our lives, just to compare these things to our lives. Well, we got to that area. It was no doubt, it was very obvious that there was grapes that grew there. And there was grapevines, field after field of them. And I'd like to think about that as the world looks on. Is it obvious this morning that grapes are growing here? Another one is that it takes a certain type of climate for the grapes to grow. There are certain areas that do well, and that area there looked like a very peaceable place to live when the summertime when we were there, at least. And but it takes a certain climate, and it was on the side of the ridge of there was a ridge about 5 miles from the lake there, and on the side towards the lake, as it sloped up to the ridge was where the grape fields were, and that climate was suitable for the grapes. That's where they were. If you go on the other side of the ridge, there were hardly any grapes over there. And I think that's true in the Christian life. There is a climate that is necessary for fruitfulness. And do we as a church produce that kind of a climate? Another thing is that there were neglected grapevines there. You could see that it still was grapevines, but there was weeds and there was other kinds of trees that had grew up through it. And so there is some maintenance that is necessary for a productive grapevine. And you could see, if you got very close, you could see very well that there were some that were not kept up and that there others were. So it takes work in our life. It takes the pruning that we talked about earlier in our life that is necessary for fruit bearing. Another one is it takes a lot of work besides the pruning and the weed control. There's also insects that need to be taken care of. We saw special spray machines that were out in the field spraying. They had to go over top. They straddled the grapevine and sprayed their spray way out the side. There was a lot of effort that went into that. And then we weren't there during harvest time, but they were talking about it there with us. In harvest time, there was a smell in that area. You could very well smell the grapes that were being harvested. And think about that as we are together as a grapevine, are we attached to the vine? Is there an aroma that goes out from our life? Is it obvious that by the aroma that goes from our life, is there an obvious smell of fruit bearing in our life? They said in harvest time, the roads had grape juice on them because the trucks would be hauling the juice and they would spill. And I think that speaks of a plentiful harvest. There was plenty, and they were in a hurry and they were hauling them. And in the corners down through town, as the trucks turned the corner, it would run over the side. And God's harvest is a plentiful harvest. Well, there's also a concern about the climate change in some areas. I'm not sure if it was there, but in some areas of grape production, there's a concern for climate change that there won't be the climate that's necessary for grape production. And I believe God will take care of that, I'm sure. But we need to be trust in God's protection for our fruitfulness. The climate in the world today is not a good place for fruit bearing, as far as the world itself. But as Jesus Christ comes into our life, and as we work together as brothers and sisters, we don't have to worry about climate change in that way. There will be a climate. God will always make a way for His children. There will always be a climate for grape production, as long as time is. One other thing they are faced there is that there is less demand for good grapes. More grapes are being planted for wine and for beer, for strong drink. There's less demand for the good ones. And that is something that we don't face spiritually. Spiritually, there is a high demand for good grapes. There will always be a high demand for good grapes. God wants to do away with the bad ones and get rid of them. He wants the good grapes, so we don't have to worry about the demand going down as they did in some areas there. Spiritually, there is a demand, very high demand. So let's produce the grapes that God has given us. Let's submit ourselves to the chastening that He brings. Sometimes it's so hard, but let's just submit ourselves and produce fruit. And then God will receive the glory. Let's kneel for prayer.